welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. My name is Dane from Clarkie's Rugby League column, joined every week by Blaze from BKR Sport, who just couldn't wait to get that woo in. Another tough week for the club, mate, unfortunately. It's been a long season. How are you doing?
Having a lot of fun, mate. Oh, yeah. You know, last year, obviously, the men's team didn't go too well. They came, obviously, fourth last, which wasn't exactly a fun time. But we had some good moments. But we had the women's. You know, we had the women's. They were flying. Obviously, we got to the grand final. You know, we're having a good time. We're partying. We lost our grand final, but it was good to be there. You're going to lose one to win one. Well, in 2025, much of a muchness, really. You know, obviously, the men's team has finished. They've not gone down, which is good. But they also haven't gone up exactly in fourth last as well for the third year running. And the women's team are not helping us right now. We're coming off an absolute shellacking by the Newcastle Knights. So, yeah, we're Jewies. I don't know what to do. Don't know how to feel. Don't know how to survive. But we're surviving. We're kicking for one more week at the very least.
We need a big front lines cuddle. Like, we all just need to come together right now, virtually, for a big cuddle. So if you're available, guys, to do so with us, here's a frontline cuddle. And that was completely off script and just something I felt like doing. But anyway, the Titans Frontline Podcast is your weekly dose of everything Titans. And our aim is to capture absolutely everything for you in the one spot. So if you are new around here, please consider subscribing, liking the video if you're on YouTube, or if you're on a podcast player, you can follow and leave a five-star review commenting on how gorgeous the co-hosts are. And of course, remember to follow the Frontline on Instagram or join our Facebook group. Our first segment every week, Blaze, is the Titans news, and this one is an interesting one to start. It is reported by News Corp that Des Hasler will meet with Dave Fifita in the offseason and demand he increases his standards across the club and in games. So I'll go to you. Firstly, do you believe this report, and do you think that's fair for Des to do to Dave?
Well, I'll stop cuddling myself because I have been cuddling this entire time. But yeah, look, I think that this is a bit of a hard one for us to talk about. Like, obviously, it wasn't Dave's best year, that's for sure. We do know that he was absolutely firing and for the first half of the year. And not just us, but everyone was complaining about Billy Slater not selecting him for Origin. And, you know, he was definitely deserving to play Origin and was unfortunately a big loss in that series head for Queensland. And I do feel like that has impacted the back end. And also, there has been that significant distraction that we've had throughout the year with the Roosters and the Panthers and all that sort of stuff with his contract situation. But obviously, he did stay for, but he did leave and then decided to stay, right? So I think that there has been a lot of distractions in Dave's season, which, you know, whether you think that's right or wrong, it's completely up to, well, it's actually up to Dave, realistically, whether it was a distraction for him or not. But yeah, he's had a lot of distractions this year. I don't know if he's been able to get into a rhythm. And also, just a fun fact as well, like, it's people look for Dave to be the guy. And it's like, well, he is a back row. And yes, look, arguably, yes, we do want to see him doing more. We want him to be balanced. We want him to score tries, but also defend. We want him to do everything there. And absolutely, we pay him for that reason. However, you know, it's not just his fault that we are losing right now. It's not just his fault that we are struggling. There has been a myriad of reasons that in this offseason, we'll deep dive in once Clarke gets back from his lovely cruise. We're going deep dive into, you know, everything and what went wrong, what went right and all that sort of stuff. And I feel like, you know, clubs when they're losing and clubs when they're struggling will always, and I'm not saying this is necessarily true even in regards to Desi or our club or whatnot. This is just what News Corp is obviously reporting. But, you know, based off of that, you know, when you're down in the dumps, everyone does look at each other to blame, right? Everyone looks for who to blame, what's the reason. You're the reason. No, you're the reason. When you look at the Roosters or the Panthers or the Storm, whatnot, they're not looking around and saying, who's at fault here? They're not looking around saying, you're the reason, you're the reason. They're just saying, hey, listen, here is what's going on. Let's fix it. It's not about any individuals and whatnot. So I feel like this is just a little bit of a situation that we're finding when, if this is true, this is a situation that we're finding in one of those struggling clubs that just needs to kind of release some steam, whether that be right or wrong. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I know Dave can get back to it. Just hopefully there's not as many distractions in 2025.
He can certainly get back to it because we've seen his form kind of dip with us in the past and then, you know, go back up to new heights again. In terms of increasing his standard around the club day-to-day training, we obviously can't comment on that. But what I would say is I think for Dave, it was a long season in the fact that he was blown up in the headlines with the Roosters. Then it kind of died down a little bit and Panthers. And then it took off again around the Origin time. And we forget sometimes that Dave is still, I think, 23 or 24 years old. Like, he's quite young. And to be throughout the headlines and everyone talking about you and criticizing your performances and saying if you're good enough for Origin or why you're not good enough, eventually it'll break you down, right? And I think the final component is he did require ankle surgery in the final round. Now, we don't know how long he carried that injury for. You know, we don't know, you know, but I can guarantee it's not easy to play with an ankle that requires surgery. So I do feel sorry for Dave in a way, and I expect him to get back to his best next season.
Well, I feel sorry for Dave as well, because, like, obviously this has been for a long time now. Like, even when he's playing well, he does face a lot of criticism from opposition fans because of the reported contract that he is on, which is, again, reported. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that everyone will look to blame. And Titans fans do it just as much. You know, it's not like I'm saying this is just opposition fans. Titans fans do it just as much. But Dave needs to utilize that to really get his game going again next year. And yeah, look, I don't know how much truth there is to this. This could be just, you know, the media throwing something that they feel like the people and the public will relate to, and then allowing everyone to throw their shade at Dave, which they've done for literally years now. And just a reminder for everybody, people who are Broncos fans keep saying, oh, Dave was much better when he went to the Broncos. It's actually statistically and factually incorrect that he's actually improved every single one of his stats by a country mile from his Broncos days. It's just that obviously you're a Broncos fan, or obviously this person just doesn't like Dave. So yeah, his stats have definitely risen from those. And again, we want to see more from him for sure. But there is a myriad of reasons. And again, like, he had to deal with his own club, including myself, including you, including people who are fans of the Gold Coast Titans, you know, coming for him and saying, like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, we're dealing with this contract situation every single year and all this sort of stuff. So it is very mentally taxing. You know, I speak on behalf of myself there, and I can tell you right now that he was absolutely going through it as well. So, obviously mainly him, I'm just saying, like, it's mentally taxing as a content creator dealing with all that kind of stuff, let alone the actual person who it's about. So a myriad of reasons have gone into David's season, but we'll get into all of it on another podcast.
Absolutely. We're back, Dave, to get back to his best. Some smaller pieces of news. Zane Harrison and Sam Stevenson, who played for PBC in the National Schoolboys Cup and won that premiership, they have both been awarded development contracts with us for 2025 and will join us for the preseason. So that's awesome there. This is the name I struggle with. Nato Kotoru Arakua has been handed a 2-game suspension for a hip drop tackle. Sione Lofippo and Zara Canfield have both received warnings, so nothing there. And the final piece of news, which I do want to get your thoughts on, Keanu Kinney confirms his New Zealand allegiance ahead of the Pacific Championships. He said, I'm still waiting for that phone call, but my whole family, especially my dad, are proud New Zealand people, so it'd be a dream of mine to put on the Kiwis jersey. So I'll ask you, is Keanu currently in your Kiwis best 17?
Yeah, shout out to Mike and Julia. I don't know if they're, you know, still cracking on right now listening to the podcast, because they're on holiday right now. I think they're all down there in Melbourne and whatnot. But, you know, shout out to the Kenny family. They're always big supporters of us and big supporters of the Titans community, and always there. You know, I'm always seeing Mike, and we're celebrating after a game, getting crazy. They're great family. We love them. Look, I do. I genuinely do have Keanu Kenny as my fullback. And I think that out of the three fullbacks that the Kiwis do possess in Chance Nordqvistad, they've got Keanu Kinney, and they've also got Joe Manu. You know, you've got the place to put Joe Manu into the centres, and you've got the place to put Chance into the centres, unless you're going with the Mati Tomoko or Sebastian Chris or whatnot. But the fact of the matter is that Keanu on form is actually the best fullback out of the three of them as we currently speak this year. I'm not saying he's better than Joe Manu, and I'm not saying he's better than Chance, but I would argue it. But the point of the matter is that Joey's done a great deal of stuff in the past and is still going to keep on going. Actually, he's going to rugby union. Actually, is Joe Manu eligible to play in the Pacific Championships?
No, he won't. And Roger Tuivasa-Sheck committed to Toa Samoa, so that leaves his competition as Chance, and I've got him ahead of Chance comfortably.
Yeah, I definitely have Keanu there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely have Keanu ahead of Chance. And you chuck Chance into the centres, because Keanu's not going to centres and Keanu's not going into the wing. They've got plenty of great wingers there and they've got plenty of great centres. So, yeah, I've got Keanu as number one and I think he absolutely deserves it. And, you know, he would have won Rookie of the Year in the NRL if he hadn't played the 5 games last year. I do believe 100% he gets it over Lachlan Galvin, even if he wasn't suspended Lachlan Galvin. And then also, you know, he won our Paul Broughton as well. So, yeah, you know, and I think next week, just because Clark is going to go a little bit early here today, I think next week is when we're going to read through our Titans frontline finals as well.
Yeah, and I actually did go through, I'm just quickly looking on my side monitor here. I did my top 10 fullbacks today to try to schedule in some content whilst I'm away. So the only players I have ahead of Keanu Kinney in the NRL right now is Ryan Pappenhausen. This is a fullback, sorry. Ryan Pappenhausen, Hammer, Ponga, Drinkwater, Edwards, Turbo, and Teddy. So I've got Kinney at eighth in his first full season, which is really incredible when you think about it. And I think he was like, I'm sorry to say, man, but I think he was the, Kieran Foran as well. Yeah, so Foz and Keanu Kinney were the only Titans players that featured in my top 10s across all positions for the year. So it has been a bit of a slim year, but Keanu carried, man. His form was awesome. And Foz, you reckon, would you put him at 14 or Phoenix Cross? And I'm going to say Foz.
I would say Foz based on the experience. And also he was there for the 30-niller that the New Zealand beat and walloped our Aussies by. I don't know if you claim to be Aussie or New Zealand today, Dane. But
everyone says that, mate. I'm born and raised in Australia. And you want to know what? When New Zealand beat us last year in the finals, I got so much hate, man. People messaged me, that's what you get for turning your back on your country. And I was like, guys, I have one grandparent that comes from that country. And I'm born and raised in Australia. That doesn't make me New Zealand.
Glad you may know how to get me going, but I knew that would get him immediately.
Well, it is a sticking point because I have copped it. People were saying, you're a fake Maldi and, you turn your back on your country, mate. And I'm like, how could I turn my back on a country that I haven't even been to?
But this is the issue that we face across the entirety of rugby league. You know, Valentine Holmes gets obliterated because he doesn't play for the Cook Islands when he is Australian. You know, yes.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You're allowed to, you can choose your heritage, you can choose your culture, or you can choose where you're born, raised, and currently live and where you only know of. It's like, for example, right? I am born in Kogra. That's New South Wales. My parents moved to Brisbane, Queensland, when I was 2 weeks old. So at no point, just because that is where I was born, at no point do I relate to being a New South Wales fan or a Blues fan. It's where you're from, right? And 2 weeks into my life, you don't remember. If you can remember what you did on the 15th day of your life, then I give it to you. I take my hat off to you. You're incredible. You're probably the smartest person on the planet. But the point of the matter is that people are allowed to choose where they're from if they've got that, right? So if you're from Australia, if you've born, raised, grown up in Sydney, Western Sydney and Penrith, whatnot, but you've got cultural heritage with Samoa and cultural heritage with Tonga, you are just as much Australian as anybody else, but as well, you could be just as much Tongan as anybody else or Samoan. It is your decision based off of who you are and what represents you the most. And this is a problem that gets plagued throughout Origin, Queensland, New South Wales, rugby league in general. So, yeah, it's crazy to think that people say you are not. What's he putting up on screen? Yeah, I know. Exactly right. Yeah. I messaged you about this.
I know you did. Let me, I can't zoom in on it, unfortunately. That is unfortunate. But if you guys can see here on YouTube, there is a little Keanu Kinney there, a little schoolboy in the Aussie jumper. Mate, we wish we could have you for our Australian side.
So the thing is with this, because when I saw this, I messaged Keanu straight away. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see you for Australia one day, man. Really good to see you turn your back on New Zealand. He's like, no. I am New Zealand through and through, obviously. But that point that I'm making there is that people need to really understand it's not your decision to make where I'm from, where Clark is from, where any player is from, no matter who it is. You don't make that decision. You don't get to make it. So if they want to play here, they can play there. If they want to play for money, it's realistically their choice, man. But that's probably more on the side of they're turning their back on who they actually are and whatnot. But anyway, long story short, Clarkie is turning his back on New Zealand.
Yeah, no, you got me there. You stumped me, mate, mid-wicket. What I was going to make a joke about was you said most 15-day-year-old babies can't remember what they're doing. That is except for Keanu Kinney. He was practicing his flick passes.
He was.
Doing the Benji Marshall step. He was a goer from day one, yeah. And we love him. So, Keanu, we hope
because
you get
Mike
that.
Mike might possibly be the greatest player of all time, maybe behind Pilar Fifita, JoJo's dad. But Mike, I tell you, well, very, very different positions. Pilar was a bopper, man, an absolute bopper for Tonga. Whilst, gee whiz, that'd be an interesting one because Mike would have definitely been more of like a fullback or a centre and whatnot. So I'd like to see them both run each other. Pilar, if you're listening and watching, and Mike, if you're watching, let's get it organized. Mike's gonna be like, no.
Well, I tell you what, I reckon Mark Verrills has got a bit of go about him as well. That's our hookup. We might genuinely have, if like they need to start an NRL, what would you call it? An NRL Parents League. I reckon we're gonna win that premiership. That can be the first premiership for the Crows. We are stacked.
We're on.
We are stacked, and I love it. Alrighty, mate, that is our news. Let's park that there and look forward to our NRLW recap, although not really looking forward to it, but I will give you my honest thoughts. Knights pump us. No other word for it. Pump us. Words up. 46-10 at Cbus Super Stadium. Now, I do want to start with a positive, and that is with Georgia Sim, who made her NRLW debut. Also had a child only last year. So, like, realistically, that is an incredible achievement to give birth and then debut in a professional sport only 1 year later. That is bloody awesome. So, well done there, Georgia. What a disaster from that positive. That's all I can say, man. In such a shortened season of only 9 games, which the NRLW is, I just don't think there's any room or excuse for clocking off early. Now, I'm not saying we should have won this game. I think we were always against it, but a little bit of competitive spirit would have been nice. Now, I'm not a fan of the words, there was no effort or we didn't put in enough effort, because obviously everyone's out there, they're trying their best. But that competitive spirit that unites us all as Titans, whether you're a fan, player, or a staff member, because we were beaten in every single aspect of rugby league. Like, I genuinely don't think we can look back on this game and say, well, that's a positive, or at least this happened, besides the debut, right? Our heads were down from the very first minute when they scored first. So we were never, ever in this game, and that's the most difficult for a fan of footy. You want to have those moments of belief or joy, and we just weren't able to get it. As fans, and I can't speak from a player or coaching or any staff's perspective, but I know we all love the Titans, but we wait our whole weeks. We go about our lives, whether that's school, work, uni, family needs, whatever it might be. And we spend our time looking forward to these games. You know, without the men's game, all week I was looking forward to the Titans and NRLW side. It gives us a sense of happiness, purpose, belonging. It unites us. And so even small windows of competitive spirit, it just provides us with so much joy. But we didn't get to experience that at all. For 70 minutes, we were just forced to suffer. And that's what ultimately really hurts. When I went to look through the stats, mate, and break it down from that perspective, there's no point. I can point blank look in the camera and say, for the first time ever, no GST, I'm not adding anything to this story, they beat us in every single statistical area. We did not win in one area. Every single area, every single stat we lost in, which unfortunately does mark the end of our NRLW season, mate. As a Titans fan, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I entered this season with optimism and hope, and I have a sense of feeling let down. And I know that's not fair to our NRLW team because of the injuries we had. But based on our history, more so on the men's side of things, I can't help but feel a lot of our fans will be feeling the same way, mate. We have entered a lot of seasons with hope and optimism and hasn't gone our way. And unfortunately, that's now happened in the NRLW as well. So I'll hand it over to you, mate. Am I being too harsh or would you agree?
No, you're being a liar. Can I tell you why you're being a liar?
Why?
Because we won a stat.
What's that doing?
Where the ball speed. That was the
point. Oh, come on. You're picking it. Come on.
You looked up. Hey, you're the one who looked down.
Oh, you got
the camera and said you got a single sat. And you know what? You're also a liar again because we won in the errors. We gave 13 errors away to their 7. Guess what? We win in that department because we doubled their errors. We
edit the podcast. Edit the podcast. Edit it out.
Hey, listen, we doubled their penalties conceded and some. We had one more report than them.
I don't want to win those stats.
No. This is not what you said. You just said we didn't win a single stat. And well, guess what? On report, we had 1 of their 0. So that means that we won that because we got 1. And also, we had 1 more sin bin than them because we had 1 sin bin to their none. So, you know, it's a little bit of a cop-out for you there to say that they beat us. And also, this is actually an interesting stat. This is actually an interesting one that you're wrong with. No, the effective tackle percentage. So we made 295 tackles, they're 203, right? And we missed only 3 more tackles than them, which is just crazy, mind you, considering the score. But we had 88.86 defensive effective tackle percentage, so they're 85.65. So we actually did win on one good stat, and that was the effective tackle percentage. But outside of that, you're correct. But I just had to pull your head in there because you were lying. You're just flat out lying on the camera. And I'm sorry for the fans out there, mate. Don't worry. I'll back you in. I got you back there. Look, overall, obviously, I was there. This was an awful day to be at Cbus. I'm not going to lie to you. It was quite hot, actually, as well. It was really, really hot. And they just absolutely whooped us. And you could tell from the first minute that we were done and done dirty. We did what we could in the front line. You know, we did what we could with the drums and the chanting and all that, but it just wasn't to be. And we just simply weren't good enough. There's no excuses there. Besides, I guess, like all the injuries we had all season. But with that being said, like that's just how the cookie crumbles, unfortunately, in rugby league, in such a physical contact sport that we are in. So, yeah, very, very disappointing season overall for the Gold Coast Titans. I do believe that we've got the caliber and the talent to go again next year. And, you know, when we get Ivana Lolasio, a fresh signing for this year, she comes in. Shante Kitaratu comes back in. You know, you've got Jamie Chapman, who'll be hopefully fully healthy by then as well, where she hasn't been. And, yeah, I don't know. It was you know what? I'll tell you where our heads lost our season, like officially lost our season. It wasn't in this game. Our heads officially lost, and I can tell you this from my interactions with the girls after the game, down there in Parramatta, because we deserved to win that game based off of how dominant we were, but we didn't win that game because of a broken down play with 7 minutes to go that took the lead for Parramatta. There is no world that we should have been losing that game with how dominant we were throughout the game, but we couldn't score enough points, and the Eels got a broken down play to the left wing, scored. And as soon as that happened, our season was over. Even though there's a chance, our season was over because our heads went down. We couldn't get back into the game. They scored again, and we come here, and the Knights flog us. If we had to beat the Eels that day, I still think the Knights obviously beat us. Don't get me wrong. But with that being said, I think that there's a lot more to play for. So I think that the scoreline's a lot closer. And maybe like a 14, a 12-point kind of deal, not like a one-point kind of game, because the Knights were just a lot better than us in the day. But, yeah, disappointing season. Clarkie's a liar, and we move on.
Yeah, I'm sure that the coaching staff will really love bringing up that we won the sin bin stats when they break this game down.
Why aren't you on the coaching staff? You've got to laugh through the pain. If you don't laugh, and this is actual genuine advice to people, when you know you are so indebted to a team, like in every capacity, day in, day out, week in, week out, and you're watching the women's, the men's, the feeder clubs, everything, and all of our teams sucks this year in the men's, the women's, and Tweed, and also if Ipswich was a... Ipswich finished second last, and it was a good season for them, right? So you look at all that, and if you don't laugh through the pain, if you don't laugh through the pain, you know what? I'll double down here just because I know it's hurting you. Tweed came third last when we tipped them for first. Titans, we both...
I'm going red with embarrassment.
No, but you've got to find the comedy in it, because if you don't... If you don't find the comedy, it will just suck, it will hurt, and you'll just be, you know, honestly, probably jumping on TikTok and filming crying videos every single week, which I feel like doing. Actually, you know what? There was a point of this season in the men's game where we were losing so much. It was the 0-6. It was when we started our season up 0-6. And every week, I post a photo up on BKR Sport on Instagram of my reaction and the results of the game. Obviously, it wasn't great. We were 0-6. So I was getting so sick of putting sad photos up every single week. Then I put one happy photo up and then we would lose again. And then we'd have to put up another sad photo. So I made a video, a joke video saying like, oh, can't wait to put my sad photo up this week or something like that. And then we won. So I actually got the crazy one in New Zealand. But you got to laugh through the pain, man, because otherwise it's just painful.
Oh, man, it has been a painful season by every single account for every single team. The only... really feeder team that's been successful for us this year is PBC.
Ipswich won like six out of their last seven games.
Ipswich were awesome to finish the season, but genuinely, if you look at a team that finished second last and consider it a good season, you're in a bad spot. So that's why I don't want to acknowledge that as a good season.
Did they win six or something of their last seven games after they changed their coach, which gives you a positive mindset going into next year?
It does, but you have to evaluate the season overall. And we still gave second last.
Semantics.
I'm the one pulling semantics whilst you pick a niche stat from the end of the season. Mate, I'll cop it because it's a positive for the team and I'm a positive guy. All righty, mate, NRLW preview time. One last ride for 2024. We take on the Raiders at CommBank Stadium this Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Team list changes. Karina Brown comes onto the wing for Georgia Sim. Jamie Chapman named at centre despite that injury. Serena.
Hey, hold on a second. We haven't done our Titans frontline finals for the 3-2-1s.
Oh, that's how you know it was a bad game. I didn't even write down 3-2-1s.
Well, we have to do it because it's important, actually, because I tell you this for everyone involved. I forgot to write down our one. Oh, no, we've got two more to go. So right now, right this very second, there is a leader on 18. There is the second place is 17. Third place is 16. And fourth place is 14. So this is actually really important. So I usually go off the cuff anyway. So do you want me to go for my three first?
Look, you're going to have to because I haven't prepared. And I think that is honestly a telling sign of how bad we are. That is the first time in this podcast history, which is like 60 episodes deep now, where I genuinely forgot to give out 3-2-1s.
I'm going to tell you something. Guys, you've got to laugh through the pain. You know, the thing is, we love these girls. We love this team. We love this club, right? And you guys know because we face the music every single week, but we've had one player go over 100 meters in this game. We've had one player go over 100 meters in this game, and it was Shan. I'm just quickly going through just to kind of see everything else. Like, they understand this too. Like, if they heard this, they would understand it. Look, I am going to give it to Shannon Marteau for 3 points. You know, she's the only player on the team that went over 100 metres in this game with 110. She had 53 post-contact. She had 2 tackle breaks, 2 offloads in the game with 28 tackles and just the 2 missed there. So I think that's a well-rounded performance there by Shannon Marteau, and I think that she deserves to get the 3 points.
My 3 points will go to Laika Clark. Came off the bench, scored that try, ran for 57 meters, but did only play 27 minutes in that time. She had a line break, 4 tackle breaks. But what I also like is the no errors and 19 tackles for 0 missed in a game where we definitely missed a few tackles. So Laika Clark gets my 3 points, mate. Who are you going to go for your 2?
I'm going to go to the big Georgia Hale. I'm going to go Georgia Hale for the 2 points. Didn't get a great deal of attack going. She only had the 54 meters from 26 post-contact, but did have 44 tackles for no missed. And when you're getting beaten 46-10 and you're having 44 tackles and not missing a single tackle, it means that defensively, it's not your fault. Like, obviously, collectively as a team, yes, we come together, we sing Kumbaya and we say, look, it's a team effort. But if you look at it from a perspective of whose fault is it, it's not going to be Georgia Hale's because she made every single tackle. I don't even think she had an ineffective. No, she didn't. She had no ineffective tackles and no missed tackles and only gave away the 1 penalty in the game. But 44 tackles, no misses, is an incredible feat and deserves to be the 2 points.
She gets my 2 points as well. So this season, for all the reasons you said, but just to add a little bit onto that, look, still averaging 10 hit-ups and 100-plus meters. That's impressive on its own. Tackle efficiency is at 96.6%. And in this game, as you said, 44 tackles for 0 missed. Now, the Eels game, she only had 18. But outside of that, her tackles this year is 56, 39, 60, 61, 43, and 46. I believe she holds all top 5 of the most tackles in the NRLW now. I believe, like, if you go 1 to 5... she holds all 5 spots for most tackles in an individual game. So incredible effort by Georgia.
Going into the Dally M's, it'll be interesting to see who gets that 13 because defensively, you can't say anyone's better than Georgia Hale defensively. But attacking-wise, obviously, there's going to be better 13s attacking-wise across the competition, you know, especially if you're looking at probably the Broncos or you're looking at Newcastle or you're looking – like, I don't think Samaima Taufa would be getting it, but considering she's at the Raiders and they haven't been going too well this year, we get to see that battle this week down there at Combank, actually. So, yeah, look, I think that Dally M's-wise, it depends on how they look at it, but absolutely Georgia could still be a good chance to win that 13.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Samaima Taufa did win her second consecutive Mal Meninga medal as their best player, but that's a great matchup this week, man. It's two of the best locks, in my opinion, going
head-to-head.
Georgia
got robbed by Samaima last year because Georgia should have absolutely guaranteed won that 13 and also the captain of the year, in my personal opinion, and also the wider community's personal opinion. So it's not like a biased thing being said there. It was a robbery. It was a straight-up robbery. And then Georgia didn't even win our player of the year or anything like that at our awards night, which I found quite confusing as well. So I don't understand why she didn't win anything last year. Besides, she was vindicated when she won the player of the entire world for the women's. When she played for New Zealand, she was given the award for, what is it, the Golden Boot? I think it is a Golden Boot. Yeah, so she won that, which vindicated her and gave her something from the year, but very disappointed that she wasn't recognized last year. And everyone wants a little bit of acknowledgement and recognition. Don't you worry. So I think that Georgia is deserving of something this year for sure.
Completely agree, mate. Who gets your 1 point?
Good boy. Yeah, 1 point. Like, I see where you're going there with Leica. I understand that for sure. But I am going to look to Shaylee Bent here. I'm going to look at Shaylee. 53 meters for the 19 post-contact. She did have two post-contact. Two tackle breaks. I'm all over the shop. And then 34 tackles made for no miss. So a very similar marker in regards to Georgia Hale there. And you don't usually see that with Shales. Like, Shales is an attacking weapon. I don't think she's had her best year by any means, but I do believe that she deserves a point again. To be fair, you're right, though, with Leica, because she didn't miss a single tackle and scored a try. No, you are right. No, it has to go to Leica Clark. A shout-out to Shales for sure, but it does, in 27 minutes, a try, 57, which is, you know, four more majors than Shales. She had that try. She had she had nine post-contact meters compared to her. She had an extra line break. She had the four tackle breaks, so double the tackle breaks. So I'm all over the shop. Had an offload and also had 19 tackles on her miss. So yeah, it has to go to Leica Clark, but definitely shout out to Shales.
My 1 point does go to Shaylee Bent. 34 tackles for zero missed. Basically all the same reasons you said for Georgia. When you're conceding bulk points, if you can go 34 tackles for zero missed, it is obviously beneficial to the side.
Yeah, so Marte misses. She's been robbed by you, mate. Yeah. She's been robbed.
Controversial. That's controversial for sure because... Yeah. Look, unfortunately, it's controversial by nature of no one really played terrific. You know, I wish it was controversial by the measure of everyone was so good and I feel bad leaving people off. But really, we're picking from a team that was underwhelming. And I think even the players would agree with that, mate.
Well, that's why it's always going to be different. Who was your 3-2-1s again, just so I can write this down?
Leica Clark will get my 3. 2 points will go to Georgia and my 1 point will go to Shaylee Bent.
There you go. All right, we're on.
Love it.
We're on.
All righty, let's park that there, mate, and go NRLW preview time. As I said before, I forgot we didn't hand out points. Raiders, CommBank Stadium, Sunday, 1:30 p.m. We need to finish our season on a high here, mate. Our team list changes. Karina Brown comes onto the wing for Georgia Sim. And looking at the rest of it, there is Danny Parisi also joins the bench. Sienna Lefipo drops back to the bench and Talia Fuimeano is back in the 5'8 jersey. Serena Masunga moves to the centres where Fui was last round. So a few different changes made. Did you want to break this one down first or did you want me to break it down?
You go first, Ben. You go first.
Here's how I see this one, guys. When I look at the last five games from these two sides, we both come in with one win. So both sides out of form, it has to be said. And the Raiders do sit one position underneath us on the ladder. Now, where I am concerned for this game is they do average 22 points per game, and we're only averaging 14. Without Brown at halfback, I expect that to continue to decrease. We just don't have that same control over our game without Brown. Now, you go through the Raiders' season snapshot, and typically, they are getting into high-scoring battles. They lost to the Roosters this year, 34 points to 38. And I just feel if we try to play that style of game against them, we will lose. Make no mistake, guys, we do not have 34 points in this team right now. We do not have enough points to play that style of football, so we need to win this game defensively. I think it's as simple as that. With that being said, they do lead the league in missed tackles, and they average 37 missed tackles per game, whereas we sit 8th out of 10 teams at 30 missed per game. Where it is worth noting, though, is we're actually 2nd for the most tackles made, and they're 8th. So they're missing more tackles than us, and they're also making far less than us. So it is in our favor there defensively. Do we have the attack to trouble them? Because defensively, that's where we need to win. And I think by those stats, we can win. But I don't think we've got the attack, man. I just don't think we have the attack in this side without Lauren Brown. She is the glue that ties everything together. I don't think a halves pairing of Talia Fuimeano and Leilani Montgomery fundamentally changes how we looked last week, which was a bit panicked, frantic. Very early shifts, but not much digging into the line. And I think it's going to end up being this, and this is how I see this game playing out. Elliston and Marto, they'll have big games. They'll win the middle. Georgia Hale, she'll make a bunch of tackles. Ivania Polite, she will try to create tries or take the line on with her running, but it just isn't enough for me. I don't think it's enough to trouble the Raiders, who will also be desperate to finish their season on a high note. And as a follow-on, I just can't unsee what I saw last round. I saw a side that was defeated and who had given up on their season. Now, I could be wrong. It could have just been we were completely outclassed by the Knights and we were all absolutely locked in mentally. I'm only calling it how I saw it from the sideline, or from the TV, rather, I suppose. Look, I'd love to finish our season on a high note, mate.
I didn't see you there, buddy. Unless you're up there in one of those corporate boxes that you love to go in.
No, I was at the zoo with my friend Sam. inside joke, sorry. I would love to see us finish our season on a high note, mate. Obviously, we can't play finals now, but I just don't see it happening. I think the Raiders are going to be a stronger team than us here, and so I will have to tip them winning. Break it down from your perspective, mate. Do you see a pathway to victory for us here?
You're a liar again. Do you want to know how?
What? What have I done this time?
So there is a way we can play finals. And that's if really? Five teams can have salary cap breaches by...
You actually got me excited. I was like, crap, what did I miss?
Hey, listen, if the Broncos get done for being the worst city in the country, then sure, then they're done. Then we'll go up to sixth position. And then we need I'm not even going to continue this joke, but the point of the matter is that we need a lot to go our favour, and that is that, like, five teams get banned from the competition. Look, I'm not exactly a great deal keen for this one, to be fair. Like, the Raiders aren't exactly a team that get the blood pumping in the men's or the women's, to be completely honest with you. But it's a bit of a mixture here too, right? Because if we win this game, there is a chance that we finish in sixth because the Knights should be absolutely beating the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys they have zero chance. Cowboys are on minus 49, Knights are on plus 74, and they're 2 points above them. They would need to win by about 60 to go above the Knights and go into the top four, which is their only chance, won't happen, and also rely upon the Eels losing to the Roosters, which is probably going to happen because Roosters, Broncos, and Sharks are all on top of the table with 12 points. The women's game is a very, very volatile, lads, because obviously it is a very... new. So that's why you're seeing teams like the Broncos get back up there. Broncos were in the finals last year. Teams like the Sharks getting up there and Eels and Cowboys and that competing and whatnot. You're seeing the Titans drop off. But I am very confident next year. Point of matter is that if we win this, we can finish in the sixth. If we lose this, we can finish potentially in ninth, right? Which would really, really suck. But if we lose this, we guaranteed we'll be at maximum eighth because the Raiders will jump us. We've got an awful points differential of minus 59 to their minus 26. So if we want to finish in fourth last and emulate the men's team, then sure, we can do that. But it would have to rely upon us winning by a small amount and the Cowboys not losing too much to the Knights. But overall, the reason why I'm talking about things that aren't really reliant upon the game is because I think we're all checked out, man. I think that, and that's not a bad thing to say. I think that we could tell the men's boys were clocked out with weeks to go. We could tell the women's players are. I can tell you when I was at the game on Saturday at Seabus, the doubleheader, we're all checked out. We're all tired, man. Staff that I'm talking to, they're tired. I'm tired. You're tired. We're all just ready for a bit of a break from, you know, the ups and downs of a season. And don't worry, we'll be fresh and raring to go by next year. Yeah, you know, like we'll be as passionate and fiery as ever behind the Gold Coast Titans because we love it. But at the end of the day as well, like we do this, you know, week in, week out. And unfortunately, when the results don't go your way in any caliber whatsoever, you are at the point where, like for me, I'm just waiting for the grand final to come so that I can go across to Fiji and see my family. Like, that's how I'm thinking. You're off on a cruise, you know what I'm saying? Like, tomorrow, right? So everyone is just kind of preparing for postseason. Yes, we've got one more game to go. I hope we win. I hope we do. I'll be supporting us, you know, win, lose, or draw. But there just is, it's just that part of the year. It's that part of the year, unfortunately, Gold Coast. And I would love to say differently because this time last year, we were pumping. You know, we're getting into the finals. Like we played the Roosters at Allianz and we beat them. And, you know, we were so passionate. But now, when there's nothing to play for across any competition, you're just like, okay, I'm ready now. So, look, I do believe this. So, by the way, this isn't at Canberra, for everyone who's wondering. It's not a GIO stadium. It's at Combank Stadium. It's a doubleheader with the Eels game that they play the Roosters later on. A chance to maybe play the finals. Doubt it. However, I think earlier on the day beforehand, it's when the Knights probably beat the Cowboys. So, their season will already done there, the Eels. But anyway, that's point. Not the point. I'll probably say, yeah, with all of our injuries, our players out, and the fact that we're all checked out, I will probably take Raiders 1 of 12. There is a chance they could win 13 plus, but just it's honestly end of season.
Yeah, that, I mean, you're saying you can't wait to get to Fiji end of the year. I checked out early. I didn't even make the Titans NRLW last game before I booked my holiday. So maybe maybe call me a fake fan.
Yeah, whatever, but that comes from all things. Like, as we spoke about as content creators last week on the podcast, if people listen to it at the beginning, you know, it does really get grindy. And we are at a moment where it is a grindy part of the year for fans of teams or content creators of teams. And you guys as well, listening fans, it is that part of the year where you just want to look forward to 2025, but you need to clock off for a little bit so that you can refocus and not be distraught from what we've seen this year.
100%, man. I mean, this time last year, we were discussing an NRLW team who was on fire. We were backing a Burley team who included Tony Francis, Keanu, etc. Maybe Keanu. Yeah, Keanu was with Burley
was
last
Lofty
year.
There too?
Year before, Lofty was with Burley. Oh, yeah. So at least we've had kind of, you know, lower grades to get excited about, and then also the NRLW in previous seasons. But this year, we're flat across the board, which is unfortunate.
Was Jalen playing for Burley? Because we didn't have Ipswich then. So was he playing for Tweed or was he playing for Burley?
Jalen, I think he would have been in the under-19s competition last year still. Mm. I think he's still young enough to be there. I don't remember seeing his name in Burley last year. But I'd also have terrible memory.
But I just know that we obviously didn't have Ipswich. So he would have been with one of them, but he might not have been playing for him. He might have been too young.
And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Tony Francis there. We mentioned him last year for Burley in our episode last round. Blaze forgot to mention him as a rookie. And I pulled him up, put it in messages. Don't worry, everyone. Shout out, Tony.
What happened?
I'm really sorry. Really sorry about this.
Oh, wait. No, didn't. Oh, no, no. Hold on a second here. We're not moving on. See?
That's like Chris Randall.
I've got proof that you're a liar. See? I've got proof that he actually is a liar here, folks. He lied about the women's game from last week. He lied about the women's game this week. He lied about Chrissy Randall on his 50th or whatever it was. He's lying about being tired, and he's definitely lying about this Tony situation where he forgot to mention Tony.
Jeez, your chat makes me tired sometimes, man.
He is a liar. Love you, Tony. A liar. You are a liar.
Jeez, I love you, Tony. I'm sorry about my emotional friend here.
Oh, yeah, I would never forget about that. Now, you know what? You continue this part for a second, and I'll go get my Tony Francis shirt. How about you go get yours?
Well, I actually do have one as well.
Well, I was at his debut. I was at his debut. Were you?
Yeah, I got a signed shirt from the occasion.
Yeah, were you there? Were you at the game? I can't remember. Do you remember what game it was?
Well, look, are we talking physical atoms and being? Are we going to break this down from a scientific perspective?
No, what game was it? What game was
he
it?
He debuted against the Brisbane Broncos at Suncorp Stadium when we pumped those little grumps into the earth. Ooh, round. Yeah. 13.
Yeah, I don't know what round it was. I know I was there.
I know he scored. He scored with one arm. So,
yeah,
love you, Tony. All righty, guys. It is time. 132 meters. How many meters did you play? Sorry. All right.
See, he doesn't even know. He's a liar and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Go on with the front line because we're sick of hearing your lies.
Just seeing if I can mute people on this podcast, guys. I can mute him. He's muted now. Thank you very much. It is time. Ring, 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 ring to do some
phone.
Damn it. He's learned how to unmute himself. The podcast just got lower in the ratings. Our first one this week comes from Brody Town.
Brody who? Who? Brody who?
Boys.
Brody who? Brody who, mate? So appealing. I didn't realize I had him muted.
How are we?
You got
can we start that again? Because what's funny? I muted you and then, okay, you're still playing it. You know what's funny? It was that Brody's voice came through as boys and I could just see you repeating his last name a million times.
No, you got me. So I was looking at the other monitor. Yeah, thanks for doing that, man.
Boys, how are we? I was just wondering, what do you guys reckon of our two new graduates from the Future Titans? I'm excited to see what they can do, and where do you think they'll fit into our growing side at the moment? Cheers.
Awesome question, Brody. Now, I can't speak for Sam Stevenson. I'm not too familiar with him, but I am certainly familiar with Zane Harrison, as there is a lot of hype around young Zane. I think for Zane, I would like to see one of two things here, Brody, and that's either playing in reserve grade minimum next year. I want to see him get that experience against men in the reserve grade competition, Or if he does come into the NRL, I want to see him with an experienced half next to him. Now, we saw Lachlan Galvin, and Lachlan Galvin won the same award that Zane Harrison won the year before, and he was playing with an experienced half in Aiden Caesar at the Tigers. Now, love Caesar, former Titan, but Kieran Foran is a better player. And I think that it would actually really benefit Zane getting some reps with Kieran Foran alongside him. At minimum, I think we need to re-sign Foz on a coaching contract if he is to retire at the end of next year to have him there for Zane. So I'm really excited for Zane's future, but I do want to tie it to Kieran Foran. I think Foz is really integral for it, mate. Anything you want to add about Zane there or Sam Stevenson?
Yeah, I think that this also aligns. So I'm going to speak on Sam first, but I just want to... Actually, no, I'll speak on Sam first, and I won't forget what I was about to say. Sam Stevenson actually played for the under-19s Queensland this year as a centre. He was in that game. Didn't have the most unbelievable game, but he was probably one of the better for Queensland as well. He was fine. You know, Queensland obviously lost that under-19s to New South Wales. It was disappointing to see that Zane Harrison was originally the 14 and then got dropped to 18th man. But obviously he was, I think, 18 now. He'll be 19 next year. So he'll play as, I believe, guaranteed, he'll play as the starting seven of that New South Wales under-19s next year. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, Sammy Stevenson, don't know a great deal about him overall, but I will say that he is a very strong centre coming through. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can provide. Obviously, I get down to training. I'll be looking and watching on and seeing what I'm seeing. Obviously, he's good enough to be selected for under-19s Queensland, which is a really big honour, and also is a part of a PBC championship-winning side and has been growing up alongside Zane Harrison as well.
Yeah, he actually made his Host Plus Cup debut in reserve grade for our Tweed side last year against the Redcliffe Dolphins coming off the bench for 26 minutes. I missed that at the time. But so Sam already has some experience there at reserve grade level, which is awesome.
Yeah, then that's good. That's awesome. You know, so we don't know a great deal, but we're looking forward to seeing him. I definitely, like I said, I've seen his name around and I watched him for the under-19s Queensland, but obviously they're very young, so you don't get to watch a great deal of it unless you're like a parent or a family member or whatnot. And the same thing goes for Zane Harrison. You know, we haven't seen an unbelievable amount of actual game footage because it's not easily accessible necessarily, or you're just thinking about NRL or all this kind of stuff. So you're not really going and watching the PBC games unless it's the championship, which he was absolutely unbelievable in. We spoke about last week, so go back and have a listen to the podcast to hear us talk about PBC's championship win over what was it again? It was a team from Western Sydney,
Blacktown Patricia Saints High School,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, so that was, and he won the MVP in that game, which is what, as you brought up, Lachlan Galvin won the year before against PBC and Zane. So, look, and that's the reason why we kept PBC, right? Because these guys are being developed and coming through, and it's amazing. Rabbitohs, what are you doing with Kebra? Nothing. Oh, we'll be waiting for your call, Kebra. Anyway, the point of the matter is that Zane is a fantastic prospect. I do think that there is a chance he could play if the season's getting away from us again, which I hate to see, and I hate to say, but we're Titans fans, and we're always going to be like, oh, well, at one point of the year, we'll see him, and hopefully he develops into our premiership-winning half, and I will guarantee you, and I will tell you, it might come back to bite me, Zane Harrison is the type of player that can win us a premiership. He's won every accolade known to man coming through as a young lad. We can talk about this. We can think like this. He can't. He can be confident. He can't be arrogant. You know, we're able to believe and say he will win a premiership with us one day. But he actually said a good quote that you put up. I saw your quote from him saying something like, oh, I've got to wait my turn. And that's a great thing to say as a young lad, because a lot of guys, without, you know, throwing shade at Sydney and whatnot, the mentality is very different there. And because of the way that people escalate, like the stardom of rugby league players as a high school kid going through and whatnot, there is a lot more ego and arrogance there. While Zane seems like he does have his head clicked on, he does watch all of our stuff. He is updating the Titans community. You know, we'll message him the other day after his game. He's a great kid, and I'm really looking forward to him. So, yeah, I agree with you in regards to Kieran Foran being a really solid mentor for him. And the reason why I'm going to translate this into the Ben Hunt rumours, because Ben Hunt's been obviously on the rumour radar again, the Dolphins are looking at him, Titans, whatever, right? I don't believe that Ben Hunt should come to this club. I think last year, absolutely. I thought this year, maybe. But next year, I think that he's going to be 35 years old. And the year after that, which is when his contract finishes at the Dragons, after next year, they may release him early. There's no guarantees. After that, he will be 36 years old. So it's like you're only bringing him for a mentor role, and he's still going to be asking him for like $700,000, $800K. So what's the point? I don't get it. I don't understand the point of that. I think that it's a trap. I think it's a massive trap in regards to Ben Hunt. And I think that we absolutely should be developing Zane Harrison. Although Kieran is not a pure seven, he's a pure six. And I've said this all along. The fact of the matter is that Kieran has that gamesmanship. He has that leadership. And he has exactly what Zane Harrison needs to learn. We do have Michael Monaghan, who knows exactly what to do in that department. And we do have, you know, the caliber to teach him. Desi Hasler. You know, he was in the halves. He played every half, for hooker, center, winger, coach, water boy. It was everything. Desi Hasler. He was one of the greatest utilities in the all time. So, yes, I'm really looking forward to Zane. Think he'll suit our system, but be patient. Like he said, he's got a ways to turn.
Yeah, still very young, as is Carter Gordon. So we've got some nice competition heating up for young halves. Carter Gordon, Tommy Weaver, Jaden Campbell, Zane Harrison, and they're all going to be mentored by the GOAT.
What are your thoughts on Ben Hunt too?
No, not keen, mate. Not keen.
I love it.
Nothing to do with his form. We just don't need to spend $1 million of our salary cap there. We already have a mentor.
36-year-old, when he would get here.
Exactly. We've already got a mentor, and it's Kieran Foran. And he knows the Gold Coast. He loves the Gold Coast. He's committed. He doesn't want to. He didn't come to the Gold Coast because he wanted to retire here. You know what I mean? He came here intent on taking this club to a new level. And that's a bit of a more of a different mindset to what I think Ben Hunt would arrive at here with. So
I will also say, in regards to Carter Gordon, people think he's just inexperienced. It's like he's young, but also, and he's coming to a new game, which is similar but different. Kills it for Tweed in centre, 5'8", and halfback, all three, and has got Wallabies experience. It's not like he's got no experience, he's just a young prospect. He's a young prospect with experience at the highest level of international rugby union. Yes, I know the Wallabies. I know, don't worry, we don't talk about them here. That's like the Voldemort, he who shall not be named, the Wallabies here in Australia. But the point of the matter is that he's not inexperienced. So I don't know, I've got, well, there's some really exciting halves coming through right now with us, and I don't think that you could, I don't know if you go back in the past, we have ever really had as exciting halves prospects coming through like you've got with Carter Gordon and Zane Harrison. Could you name another half prospect? Because Jerome Hughes was a fullback. Can you name another half prospect coming through that was exciting as these two? And I think these guys are one and two.
The only other one was Jordan Rankin, who debuted as a teenager for us because everyone was injured. But even then, there wasn't like the hype. Wasn't his name? Yeah, he was 16. There wasn't so much hype. It was more so unexpected. And then it was like, oh, my God, who is this guy? Because he was playing NRL at 16. But I wouldn't say there was the building up hype to that moment. It was more unexpected hype, in my
opinion. Well, I guess it's also social media wouldn't have been a thing back then really as well. Like you and me were two of the first creators in the NRL community back in like 2015, 16 kind of time. So we're talking Jordan Rankin's like, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, before you were even a Titans fan, buddy, you know? So, anyway, let's get to the next one. We appreciate you, Brody. Thanks for tuning in all season as well. I know he's been listening all year.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate your viewership, Brody. Next one comes from your mum. It just says your mum. It doesn't say whose mum. It just says your mum.
Yo, what do you do with your boy, Bestport 2.0? Oh, Especially being
I hate this guy.
You're pretty good too. If I could just get your boy's opinion on William Zillman, I'd love to hear your thoughts on him.
He's the GOAT.
Thanks.
Look, I'd love to jump off the top rope, top ladder, and put you through the table in a TLC match there, Jesse. No I Quit match in WWE. I know you're a fan. William Zillman, I believe, is an extremely underrated player for the Titans. I think he's in our top five all-time capped players. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Dr. Zillman is within our top five all-time Titans. I think he was always a great guy around the club. I remember being a kid, going to training, watching him train, and he was always super nice, always signed all my cards. Awesome guy. Couldn't say a bad thing about him. On field, was he the best player in the league at the time or best fullback? No, but he was always handy and did his job. So I remember Zilly's time at the club with very positive memories, mate. How do you remember him?
Mate, I know Will Zillman very well. You know, he was a part of the club when I was a young lad coming through, and he was one of the first blokes, and back in that time period, one of the only blokes who really would have given me and did kind of give me time of the day. You know, we had some big star players. That's not a shot at anybody. That's just me saying that that's his character, is that you know, this was 5-6, you know, years before I started doing content creation and YouTube and being like, I was active in the community on the drums and whatnot, but I wasn't doing as expansive what I'm doing now. And, you know, Zilly to this day, you know, we talk from time to time on Instagram, you know, he's a great bloke, absolutely phenomenal human being. I always have said he looks very similar to Liam Hemsworth when he was younger. I'm just saying, it's a comparison, not Chris Hemsworth. No, while I'm talking, go and have a look at Liam Hemsworth on this YouTube video right now. If you're on Spotify, Apple, I apologize. If on YouTube, I'm going to put the picture up right now. You look at Silly and you look at Liam Hemsworth. A lot of people say no. Some people say yes. You guys be the decider in the comment section here. But anyway, point matter was, is that I thought he was underrated. I don't think he was the greatest player ever, but I do think that he was a massive player for us at a time we needed. Was a great addition from Canberra when he came across. And here we go. Yes. Now it's all good. Put it on. Look at the face. You cannot tell me that does not look like Zilly Zillman. Tell me right now. Now switch it over to Will Zillman. Now go click on Will Zillman.
Yeah, I think you're off your head. Everyone can hear me typing. Sorry.
Look at the one there, right there. Bingo. Look at the face. No. Well, there's that one, but I'm talking about the one with the blue one that you're hovering over there. Well, I'm on that five across from the left, which you're on right now. You look at that. Look at his face. He's a goat, by the way. Beautiful man. And now go back again and compare it, and you'll think, wow, is this Zillman or is this Liam Hemsworth? Look at it. Look at the face similarities. It's ridiculous. It's uncanny.
I think you're up ahead, to be honest. But Jesse, thank you for that question. Next one's from Jay.
Looks like Liam Hemsworth.
Two questions, guys. Who do you think will be the centre pairing for the Titans next year? And how active do you think we'll be in the recruitment market this offseason? Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jay. And I mean, questions like this are always fun to ponder on, but I feel like giving a serious answer is much more difficult because you look at the players that are currently off contract, there's no players really that we need or want. There just isn't. You know, typically the guys that are off contract at this stage are Super League caliber players or depth options. So I think it's as simple as that. In terms of who will play center next year, again, we have a whole preseason to get through and potential signings. So it does make it difficult. If you want my answer right here, right now, next year, I probably want to see AJ Brimson in the six and Kieran Foran in the seven. I'd like to see Carter Gordon in the centers just to get a bit of feel for the game. And then that last centers position is really between Sammy and BK. I think I prefer Phil Sami. So if I've got to say right now, I'll go Sami and I will go Carter Gordon. Who have you got, mate?
I think this is a superbly hard question to answer right now. And like we've said many a time, guys, over the next couple of weeks, we will be, you know, going well in depth into all this kind of stuff and talking about each player and their season and all the type of jazz. This one's been a bit of a different podcast, but because we've obviously just been limiting into certain parts, but we will be having really analysis kind of podcasts. I think right this very second, this can change tomorrow, might change in an hour, might change tomorrow next week. It could change, guys. So don't take our words for this. But I think that my preference right at this very second would be I would put Carter into the six. I would.
Okay. Does that mean Brimson would play center for you?
That would mean that I would say that, yes, AJ would have to be playing center and it would be alongside BK. It would be alongside Brian Kelly and it would be AJ, but you would have to switch Brian Kelly away from Loffy's side because I've said this and you've said this, we both said this. Loffy and BK can't be on the same side as each other. There's a reason why BK gets voted as the player's player, despite the fact that, you know, nobody else agrees with that. Point of the matter is that he has been. The club loves him, and, you know, it's as simple as that. So BK will be there. I think AJ goes there. You'd have to assume JC goes to the 14, and this is the hardest thing, man, because it breaks my heart because you want to see him starting, but it's like, does he even fit in the 14 right now? And that's really where it hurts because, again, he's been really transitioning to that 5'8". But the thing is that because he knows that 5'8" now, then, you know, and I don't think he was absolutely electric in the 5'8". He had moments where it was unbelievable, absolutely had moments. But I just think Carter is a specified half. And I think that Kieran Foran is obviously the seven. So unless you switch Kieran Foran back to the six and you put Carter Gore into the seven, which is something Desi could do, mind you. I'm just throwing that out there because Carter did kill it for Tweed and does have the experience, FYI. So especially like the seven to those positions in rugby union are actually quite similar. They're very, very similar between the two. So I don't know. There's a lot to go over. You've got to try and figure out a way to get these guys in. But I will bring this up. A lot of our contracts end in 2026. Remember, we've got a lot of contracts. And I spoke about this. If you guys want a season review, I did something on BKR Sport individually where you look and you've got like JC off contract 2026. You've got, I think, Maui. You've got all these guys. You go down a list. Remember when we signed all those players until 2026? We're all excited. Tanner as well. You know, we're going to go through. This year is going to be a big telling year to see who gets re-signed and who doesn't get re-signed. So everyone's going to have to play for their contract and play for their lives. And hopefully we can be that miracle team like the Doggies from this year, like the Warriors from last year, like the Cowboys from the year before that. Hopefully we're that team next year because every single player is going to have to play for their contract knowing that 2026 is a big turning point for this club. Are you going to find the players?
No, just putting that on the bottom so people on YouTube can see what to search to see your season review there. Yeah, look, I agree. It's a big, big time for the club. Look, we don't want to go too off track, so I think we do park that. But I will finish by saying next year could be club defining in the sense that players are either going to want to buy in, and that could mean staying for less, or they're going to want to accept bigger contracts here to stay, or they're going to just flat out leave.
But so the thing really is, we've got plenty of money in the cap now. We've got plenty of money in the cap, you know. Like, so they're going to be, and this isn't a shot at any individual players, but they are looking out for themselves and their family. They might want to play with the Titans and might love playing here. And to win a premiership, they do need to sacrifice, but also they're not required to do that. So, you know, we have to, as a club, Steve Mitchell, Dennis Watt, you know, Desi, everyone has to decide, do we want to go, what path do we want to go down where, you know, we say if you're not going to take a sacrifice on your pay comparatively to probably what you're willing, what you're available elsewhere, then you have to leave to go and get that better pay packet for you so that we can really, you know, build that premiership winning side. Or do you just, you know, upgrade those contracts, which I don't necessarily believe is the right play. But there is a lot to talk about in regards to, yeah, in regards to the contracts upcoming and what direction we take because we've got too many fullbacks. Actually, here's another one for you. Who's the fullback next year? Right this very second. Who's your fullback? Because I know Jesse Shields will hate this, but who's your fullback?
No, it's no question in my mind. It's Keanu Kinney. But look, we are getting very off topic. But I do think what we should do is a as part of our maybe preview for next season or definitely in an individual episode, I think we should look at our entire contracting situation, say which players we'd lock up now long-term, who we wait and see, what positions we try to recruit, etc. We'll call it the recruitment and retention masterclass or superclass or something like that, right? And I think in that we also identify players that, let's say they're only re-signed for 2026 and we're probably not going to re-sign them for 2027. I think we even try to identify players that Des might try to move on early to create some early salary cap space. So no doubt.
I think next week, we've got the finale of the women's season, and then we'll try and maybe we'll introduce like the backline players for the men's. We'll do like the backline players analysis plus the women's and whatnot. And then the week after, we can do the forwards analysis kind of deal. And then after that, like when we do, and also the season review. And then that week after that is when we can go through the contracts because we have to get through the season review of each individual player before we can talk about, you know, what the contract situation is like and who we're thinking. So, that's probably the plan over the next 2-3 weeks, guys.
Well said, mate. Alrighty, let's park all that there, mate. Let's listen to one more speak pipe before we close out the show. This one was sent in just minutes after we went live last week. So this one's from Brendo down in Wollongong. Let's hit play on it.
Again, two things I want to touch on in this voice message. The first one being, does the bunker just have it out for Brian Kelly? He's been robbed two times this year. Absolutely. Done him dirty again. And shit, I mean, while we're at it, if he gets that try, that could have been the game to us. The defense there was pretty good from the boys this week. Not a bad performance overall. Number two is you guys both know me, and I like to keep things pretty positive. So I'd just like to see what is your favorite thing that has happened to us this year, because there has been some pretty big milestones. Is it Jaden Campbell getting 15 conversions back-to-back? Is it him setting the club record for points scored? Is it Cam Pereira being the first Gold Coast top try scorer of the season? Is it Kinney breaking the meters run record twice? The list goes on. I want to know your favourites. As always, mate, I hope you guys are doing well, and thanks for everything you do. Blaze, congratulations on ticking off every game. You're a bloody legend, and you're not so bad yourself, Clarky. Have a good one, guys.
I debate that. He's pretty bad. He's pretty bad. And a liar, as we found out today.
he's ended that one on a bit of controversy, you did, Brendo. But absolutely appreciate your support, mate, and appreciate the speak pipe as always. Quickly, before we answer this one, guys, you can send your own in the links in the podcast and the YouTube to do so. And Brendo, my favorite this year was signing Carter Gordon. I think between the combination of signing Carter Gordon and Zane Harrison coming through, we really do have a firm base to really build on headed into the future. If you asked me preseason, I would have said the signing of Dez, but it didn't pan out as successfully as we would have liked in the first year. So I will shift that now to the signing of Carter Gordon and the emergence of Zane Harrison as well, if I can kind of tail one on the end, as my most positive moment of the season, mate. I know what you're going to say. I reckon you're going to say either the Warriors game or the Broncos game, because it was an insane atmosphere at Cbus both days, right?
Well, like, I was actually going to combine the two of them, right? And it's not because of the atmosphere. The atmosphere was unbelievable. I loved that, because we'll do like our favorite results and whatnot throughout the season later on. But, you know, because my favorite probably might have been that New Zealand game in New Zealand. I think that winning that Warriors game 66-6 and winning that Broncos game 46-18, that's 112 points scored in two games. Those two scores by themselves are the highest scores that we'd ever scored ever, right? So 44, we'd hit like five or six times and we could never get over 44. And that Warriors game was so crazy, as we just kept ticking it over and over and over past that point. It was crazy, right? So I will say that it showed that what we do have to possess, because the Broncos on their day are a really good team and the Warriors on their day are a really good team. I.e. the fact that the Broncos and the Warriors played each other in the preliminary final just last year, and the Broncos were winning the grand final until the 77th minute of the game, right? They were winning the grand final until the 77th minute of the game. So although those two teams also missed the eight this year, and although those two teams did struggle, the fact of the matter is that we've never won games like that. We never do win games like that. But this year, we did win games like that. And it showed that despite the fact that we had an incredibly tough year mentally and an incredibly tough year with injuries to Tino and injuries to our spine and, you know, changes and Desi and all this sort of stuff, right, we do have the tenacity to go out there and slap someone. And if you can slap someone, it means that if you can win 66-6, you can beat the Storm, which we nearly did, mind you. If you can win 46-18 against your biggest rivals and not lose them three games in a row, two of those being at Suncorp away from home, it does mean that you can go and beat the Panthers, who, by the way, we nearly did beat. And as Brando just said, BK was robbed of a try, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, in Brando's opinion, and whatnot, right? So the point of matter is that shows the direction our club needs to be consistent. But if you complain about consistency, trust me, he's another one. You can go and look at my Dragons review, because I'm telling you right now, their consistency is putrid this year. So the point of matter is, we have the ability to win games and we have the ability to actually go on a run. But as long as we don't start off 0-6, 0-6 is the critical point that I will hammer home throughout these analysis videos. I will hammer that home, because that screws us for the back end of the year. So that's my biggest positive from this year, showing that we can slap teams bigger than ever before.
No, more than fair, man. And thank you very much, Brendo, for sending that one in. We absolutely appreciate it, man. I reckon we call the episode there, mate. A bit of a shorter one than usual, because we only had the NRLW to preview and recap, but that allowed us to go through more speak pipe and speak a little bit more freely in some sections. So thank you very much, guys. Absolutely appreciate you sticking around during this tough week for the club, which I know you guys are probably sick of hearing, but let's just stick together. Let's keep showing the support to the podcast. We absolutely appreciate it. And for the second last time in 2024, Blake, let's zing it up.
Oh, Blake. Oh, we can call me Blake, are we? We're going to call Blake. Me Blake now. No, you
I
did
said
not.
Blake.
No, you're going to listen to the podcast? Yeah, no, trust me, I will. You said, why would I react like this if you had not said Blake?
I said Blake's.
Or Blake.
You definitely did not.
Look, I do have another friend called Blake, and I have mixed you guys up occasionally in the past. Right. But I did not stuff it up then. Blake Ross, as your name was on Facebook.
I will make sure. The reason I don't need to put it in slow motion, you'll understand. But the reason why my name was Blake on Facebook was because Facebook didn't believe that Blaze was a real name. You're a lot. And now you don't even know your own co-host podcast name. All right, Daniel, let's wrap it up here. Let's wrap it up here, Daniel. No, listen, guys, we appreciate you. It is hard to support this club. We know it. We love it, but we don't love it. But we come together as a community. That's what we do here. Today's been a bit of a laugh podcast. Obviously, there'll be more analytical stuff. Shout out to literally anyone who's watching this, because I don't feel like you're not watching this podcast if you're not just a true passionate diehard Titans fan who just goes through it all with everyone. Otherwise, you're off doing better things with your life than thinking about the women's team and the men's team that have just not performed this year for us. So we appreciate your support as per usual. Get around it. Obviously, you can check if you want more Titans content. There's a pure review of our season, myself, on the YouTube channel. And we will see you guys. Actually, just before we go, are we doing next week? We're like, what's going on?
Don't know yet. Depends on the Wi-Fi situation.
So Daniel or Janevsky here is going on a cruise to somewhere to get away from everything. So he's going on a cruise. So we hope we'll be here. It might be a little bit late next week, or just we'll try and figure it out, guys. But obviously, hit that like button, subscribe, and what we do,
zing. Alrighty. Thanks for that episode, Blake. That was a good one.